This is a meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. It is Tuesday, November 13th, 2018. This meeting is being held in the Commission Hearing Room 1025 at 210 North, 1950 West, Salt Lake City, Utah. Participating this morning are myself, John L. Valentine, Commission Chair, Michael J. Cragen, Commissioner, Rebecca L. Rockwell, Commissioner, and Lauren C. Walters, Commissioner, who is participating by phone. Also participating this morning is Scott W. Smith, Executive Director. The first item on the agenda this morning is public comment for individuals or groups who wish to speak up to 3 minutes to the Commission on matters not relating to pending or recently imminent appeals to the Tax Commission. On this item, is there anyone who wishes to be heard by the Commission? I see none. I'll move to the next item on the agenda. The next item on the agenda was considered approval special commission meeting minutes of October 25th, 2018. This is an action item. And I showed that Commissioner Walters will be making the motion on this particular motion to approve the minutes. So I recognize Commissioner Walters.
So moved. This is going to be approved.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Well, it passes unanimously. The minutes are approved. The next item on the agenda is considering amending administrative rules. The first one is Rule R865-19S-32, Leases and Rentals pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Section 59-12-103. And I think I'm going to take each one of these separately, so I'll recognize Commissioner Rockwell.
Thank you. Just as a precatory matter with reference to all rules, these rules were published in the Utah Bulletin on October 1st, 2018, and the public comment period ended on October 31st of 2018. The Commission received public comment on Rule R884-24P33 only, and we will be addressing that public comment at the time that we deal with Rule 33.
Okay, that sounds very good.
So,
but let me go ahead and call all of those, and then I'll let you present each one of them.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so the second one that we'll be considering this morning is Rule R865-9I-2. Is that a correction? Is that correct?
I think we better do 19S32 first.
Okay. I was just going to put all of them on the record and then let you do them each individually. But for my purposes, is that a 9I?
Yes.
9I. Okay.
Yes.
So the second one that we'll be considering this morning would be Rule 865-9I-2, Determination of Utah Resident Individual Status Pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Section 59-10-103 and 59-10-136. The third rule that we'll be considering this morning is Rule R884-24P-33. As a 2019 personal property valuation guides and schedules pursuant to Utah Code Annotated Section 59-2-301. So with that, you've made the comments about all three rules that they have been submitted for publication. So now let's consider each one of those individually. So, Commissioner Rockwell, the first one, 32.
Okay, great. Rule R865-19S32, Leases and Rentals. The amendment eliminates language requiring all amounts received or charged in connection with the lease or rental of tangible personal property to be included in the computation of sales and use tax on the transactions. The statutory definition of purchase price or sales price in 59-12-102 provides definitive guidance.
Thank you. Questions of Commissioner Rockwell regarding this proposed adopted rule? Seeing none, I recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R865-19S32, Leases and Rentals.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. I hear no nays. The motion passes unanimously. The rule is approved. The second one's Commissioner Rockwell.
The second is Rule R865-9I-2, Determination of Utah Resident Individual Status. The amendment eliminates special residency language applying only to military service persons. This language is already governed by federal law.
Thank you very much. Questions of Commissioner Rockwell? Seeing none, I'll place the motion. The motion's in order. Is there any debate on the motion? Seeing no debate on the motion, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Say what?
She hadn't made a motion yet.
Let's start over again. Sorry.
Okay.
Commissioner Rockwell, there's no questions of Commissioner Rockwell. I recognize Commissioner Rockwell to make a motion.
Thank you. I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R865-9I-2, Determination of Utah Resident Individual Status.
Thank you. Now the motion's in order. Is there debate on the motion? Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Rule that passes unanimously also. That rule will also be adopted. Now the third one.
The third is Rule R884-24P33, 2019 Personal Property Valuation Guides and Schedules. Section 59-2-107 authorizes the Utah State Tax Commission to promulgate rules that define classes of items considered to be personal property and provide valuation percent goods schedules to value locally assessed personal property. County assessors must use the percent goods schedules as contained in this rule. Any deviation which affects an entire class or type of personal property requires a written report documenting the schedule change to be submitted to the Tax Commission for approval prior to use. And I noted at the beginning of our discussion of the administrative rules that Rule 33 did receive some public comment from representatives of Salt Lake and Davis County. And the comments recommended that the commission take action to repeal a deduction that is currently being offered for refineries, and that be done as part of our amendments to Rule 33. However, I recommend that we take no action on this at this time to amend Rule 33 to repeal the deduction for several reasons. First, Rule 33 has already gone up to the Office of Administrative Rules. And the public comment period ended on October 31st. This rule needs to be in place by January 1st, and so we need to get these changes taken care of right now. In addition to that, at our last meeting where Rule 33 was discussed, Mr. Denny Lytle, Director of Property Tax Division, discussed this issue with us, and at the time we decided that this potential change should be brought before the legislature for four reasons. One, because it represents a change in longstanding policy, and we have a duty to report changes in longstanding policy both to the legislature and to the legislative fiscal analyst. Second, there's potentially a large fiscal impact to making this change that should be discussed by the legislature. It is also a policy decision that involves a constitutional question of whether this creates an impermissible property tax exemption that should be vetted by the policymakers of the state. And also, we do not believe that this potential change has received industry input, and we feel like the legislature provides an enhanced forum for allowing both sides to provide input on this issue. And for these reasons, I have asked Lynn Salarzik and Jason Gardner to prepare letters to the chairs of the Administrative Rules Committee, as well as the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee, and the affected counties, at least the counties who sent the letter, letting them know about this issue, and also letting them know of our recommendation that the legislature consider it. So as we go forward with a motion on Rule 33, my recommendation would be that part of that motion also include that we send a letter to Salt Lake and Davis counties, as well as the two interim committees regarding the issue, but to take no further action on the administrative rule at this time.
So you're going to recommend that we do not adopt the amendments to the rule?
Or? No, I think we adopt the amendments to the rule, but we not take any additional action to repeal the deduction for refineries.
That would be my recommendation as well. Good. Okay, any questions of Commissioner Rockwell before we move forward on the motion? Recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
Thank you. Is the preference to do this as two separate motions or roll them into one?
I think it would be better in two separate motions.
Okay.
So that we have a clear indication of what action we took.
Perfect. So the first motion, I move to adopt the amendment to Rule R884-24P33, Personal Property Valuation Guides and Schedules.
Thank you. Motion is clear and unambiguous and is in order. Questions on the motion? Seeing none, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Well, that passes unanimously. Next motion on Rule 33.
Okay, the second motion is I move to send letters to the chairs of the Administrative Rules Review Committee of the Legislature, as well as the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee of the Legislature, alerting to them to the issue of the deduction for refineries in Rule 33 and recommend that they consider studying whether to repeal that deduction, and also to send a letter to Salt Lake and Davis counties letting them know that we intend to send a letter to those two interim committees asking them to study the deduction for refineries in Rule 33.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Debate on the motion. Seeing no debate, I'll place the motion. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 And not hearing no, then opposed, so the motion passes, and therefore the letters will be sent. Next item on the agenda is to approve submission of a proposed rule for publication. And this is Rule R884-24P-27, Standards for Assessment Level and Uniformity of Performance pursuant to Utah Code, annotated section 59-2-704 and 59-2-704.5. Commissioner Rockwell, explanation.
So this proposed rule is for the Commission to consider and submit for publication to the Office of Administrative Rules. The rule will be published in the Utah Bulletin on December 1st, 2018, and the public comment period will end on January 2nd, 2019.
Thank you. Any questions regarding this particular proposed rule that being set for publication? Seeing none.
I have a question.
Oh, please. Yeah, that'll be good. Go ahead.
Is it premature to adopt this rule change until and unless the legislature makes a change and requires sales prices to be publicly recorded? I'm just concerned that the bar is too high without better data for counties to be able to achieve this standard. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to publishing it for comment. I'm just concerned about adopting the rule change unless we have some access to better information to allow counties to be able to do this.
I have two thoughts on that. First, I think that we need to adopt the rule as it is a recommendation made in an audit, and there's an expectation on the part of the legislature that we adopt the rule. In addition to that, I think it might be helpful to hear from the division who's present today to provide comment on their ability to comply with the change. And then when we're done, I didn't have an opportunity to explain the rule and probably ought to do that as well.
No, I think that'd be very helpful. Commissioner Walters has raised the same issue I raised in the audit subcommittee, that we will have a difficult time with this unless the legislature mandates the reporting of the information. Presently, we're a non-reporting state, and so it's going to be difficult for non-reporting states to be able to come to this high bar. So I'd love to have division make some comments on that to determine whether that general understanding is correct or whether there's some other understanding we ought to be thinking about. So let's have the division then come forward.
Danny Lytle, Director of the Property Tax Division. Yes, it is a high standard that's being requested under the legislative audit. It's not as high as their first recommendation. After we discussed with them the available data and the difficulties of achieving that, especially for the smaller jurisdictions, the smaller counties, they changed their recommendation and lowered the expectation, left in place what we currently do for the smallest counties.
We split it, and they have a split between counties, I think, of the first, second, and third class, and then fourth, fifth, and sixth class are at the old levels?
Correct.
Okay.
Now, and remember that this is a limited scope. This only deals with primary residential property, the countywide statistics for that one calculation. All of the sub-calculations that we'll do will use the old standards and methodology.
The question I had that I've not been able to really reconcile in my own mind is, how would the Hawks bill, if passed, how would it affect this standard? Because now we're going to allow things that are not necessarily being adjusted on the standard, but they're going to be adjusted according to a formula at the BOE.
It could potentially impact this. That's yet to be seen exactly how the fallout of that bill, but it could potentially create some difficulties in achieving the standard, correct.
Okay.
As we examine the data, multi-year data, for the counties that are going to be affected by this change, the data shows that they have been very consistently achieving the statistics that kept them just above the 90%, that they're very good at meeting the standard, but just barely. And this, by raising this, we believe that they will be able to achieve this standard with the data they currently have. It's not going to be easy, and it would obviously be much easier and more consistent with sales disclosure. But we do believe that they can meet it and have shown over time that they can stay within a couple percentage points of where they want to be.
Danny, I have a question for you. Although I think it would be helpful to have disclosure data, my experience has been that passing legislation to require sales disclosure has proven difficult over the years, and we have you know, at this point been unable to get legislation to pass on that. So do you feel like even if politically it is impossible to get that legislation through as the audit recommends, that the counties can still meet this enhanced assessment level?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Good, that helps. Okay, Commissioner Walters, do you have any further questions?
Not at this time.
Okay. Anyone else have questions? Then I will recognize Commissioner Rockwell for a motion.
Okay. Prior to making the motion, I will go ahead for the record and explain. Rule R884-24P27, Standards for Assessment Level and Uniformity of Performance, changes the permissible measure of central tendency from within 10% to within 5% of the legal level of assessment for countywide residential property in counties of the first through fourth class. And with that, I'll go ahead and move to submit the proposed rule amendment R884-24P27, Standards for Assessment Level and Uniformity of Performance, to the Office of Administrative Rules.
Thank you very much. I recognize the motion as being in order. I'll make one quick comment, and then I'll ask if there's any other debate. I made a statement earlier that it was counties first to the third class as counties first to the fourth class in the motion. So, Danny, would you come up and make sure that we get this correct?
So, Danny Lytle, Property Tax Division. The original recommendation from the audit was all counties. We, after discussing with them and look at the data, they changed their final recommendation to say at least the first through third class counties. As we ourselves examine the data, we believe it's more appropriate and achievable to do first through fourth class counties.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. I wanted to get that on the record because I knew that had happened, but I wanted to make sure we had that clear. Okay, further debate on the motion? Seeing none, I'll call a question. Those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 And I hear no opposed, so the motion passes. The Rule 27 will be submitted for publication as drafted. Next item on the agenda is consideration of publication revisions. We have two. Our famous Publication 25, Sales and Use Tax General Information. I say famous. It sometimes is infamous. It's the general sales tax information that we have all relied upon, including myself as a practitioner before I came here. And Publication 37, Business Activity in Nexus in Utah, a similarly famous or infamous publication. I want to put this on the record that these are out, these are publication revisions have occurred, and so that people should be recognizing that those have occurred. Next item on the agenda, Commissioner reports. Is there anyone in the commissioners that wish to give a report at this time? Commissioner Craig, I'll recognize you first.
Thank you. I just wanted to wish our executive director appointee well as he meets with the confirmation committee this afternoon, and our appointment of him is, we hope, confirmed by the Senate tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Well said. Commissioner Rockwell?
I just also want to express our support for him. We do plan on attending that confirmation hearing today, and we'll be there to support him in this endeavor.
Very good. Commissioner Walters, do you have anything else you wish to add on the commissioner's reports?
No, other than that, I will also be there this afternoon and look forward to expressing my support.
Awesome. As will I, and I have also given our full faith and credit, full support for our new executive director. I do have one other report I'd like to make at this time, and that is the meetings I attended last week for the Multistate Tax Commission. There was a couple of items that were really strong takeaways that I wanted to share at this time. The first is there was a white paper that was produced by the Multistate Tax Commission's legal counsel staff on the issue of platform or sales that are occurring by someone who's an expediter. those white papers, I think, are very, very useful for us. We'll probably need to sit down as a commission and our legal staff, our advisory staff, and determine whether we want to try to have the legislature be informed regarding those particular type of sales. As many of you know, those type of sales, those sales that are on a marketplace or a platform sale, presently escape collection of sales taxes, and those are then shifted on to the taxpayer to have to pay the use tax. It's an area that we do not yet have statutory direction on, and I think it would be appropriate for the legislature to make that statutory direction. I'll give an example which had been public so that I can talk about it, and that is Amazon is collecting for the sales that they occur, but do not collect for sales for their affiliates. Marketplace legislation such as that found in Washington would require companies like Amazon to collect sales taxes for their affiliates as well as their own sales. The reason I feel like I can talk about that in a public meeting is that media covered very broadly when Amazon entered into voluntary compliance agreement that they were only collecting for their own sales. That's just one example of many companies that would be affected by a platform type of sale arrangement. A corollary to that is dealing with financial transactions that occur, financial transactions that may be cleared through a particular venue may actually be ones that we'll have to consider for collection as well, as is lending activities that occur in a state that are secured by property within the state. Those three issues came up during the conference, and I'm going to provide some direction to the other commissioners offline about some of the options that we can consider on those. The second issue that was a takeaway for me from the last conference, from the Multi-State Tax Commission conference, was dealing with the apportionment that we use as a combined reporting state. We have a statute that is now being considered as a possible model for what is called the Finnegan approach. There's two approaches out there right now. One's the Joyce approach, the other one's the Finnegan approach. For combined reporting states such as Utah, the Finnegan approach seems to have the most support, and we were held up as a model of how states who are combined reporting states should consider having their apportionment factors could determine. So I just thought we'd make that as a footnote, that we got some good press within our own community, within our own tax community, on some of the things that we're doing here at the State Tax Commission. That's my report as chair, and that would complete this item on the agenda. We're ready to move on to the executive director's report.
Yes, I'd like to express my appreciation for the commission support first. And then second, I'd like to alert the commission to the removal of the credit against corporate tax for employment of a person who is homeless. Section 597903 of the Utah Code requires the tax commission to remove a non-refundable tax credit for the corporate tax return if, for three consecutive taxable years, one, the total amount of the credit claimed or carried forward is less than $10,000 per taxable year, and two, less than 10 persons per year file a return claiming or carrying forward the credit. The credit is removed from the return two taxable years after the January 1st, immediately following the date the tax commission determines that the above criteria has been satisfied. And the tax commission is required to report on or before the November meeting of the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee when a non-refundable credit meets the criteria. And so we have notified the Revenue and Taxation Interim Committee, and this will take effect on the 2020 return. There is a companion credit on the income tax return, and that has been used more than the minimum amount. So that one will remain.
What was the companion credit?
It's the same thing.
Same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from the executive director?
No, that's everything.
Okay, good. Any other business to come before the commission?
Just back on item six, I think we need to call for any comment on those changes. All we did was announce that they had been made.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner. Let's go back to item number 6 on the agenda. These are the two publications, Publication 25, Sales and Use Tax General Information, and Publication 37, Business Activity and Nexus in Utah. Are there any comments on either one of these publications? I see none. Thank you for that recommendation, Commissioner Craig, and that keeps us complying with our statutes.
Thanks.
Anything further to come before the Commission?
I move that we adjourn.
Thank you. Motion's in order. Those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed? Well, it passes unanimously. We're adjourned.